Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Time will be.
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Roth.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanic.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Welcome back. Hope you're having a nice little Tuesday. It's me, Rob.
Sada.
Big Sook's out on vacation. It is his birthday today, though. So, wish him a happy birthday. Ryan Buckley is here. Look at that.
His
little kid.
Watch this drive.
He has two little kids. One of them's melting down as we speak at the house. What's going on?
Yeah, I've been told that. Well, so this morning, my wife grabbed a package from the front porch, and it was a present for him, and she just set it downstairs. He's like, "What's that, Mama?" And she's like, "Well, it's actually a present, but you know what? You can put it under the tree, because that's where presents go."
Was it already wrapped?
No. It was going to be wrapped, but she's just saying, this isn't something you can have now. He understands the concept of presents, putting them under the tree, and opening them on Christmas, but he is 3.5, so he doesn't like those parameters. So,
yeah.
Got home from his little daycare, and he decided, I want to open that present, because I'm going to get to eventually, and I want to do it right now. And the answer is no, you have to wait 8 more days for that, and he didn't like that, so.
Yeah, who does?
No one.
Man
no one that age.
Man of increase right there.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
R.I.P. Man of Increase.
What happens? Does he get put in timeout? Does he have to go sit on the stairs?
Being a man of increase?
He'll love this. He gets told to go to his cozy corner. So he has a little corner in his room that he goes and he just pouts. And it's got blankets and a pillow. And he just goes and chills out in his cozy corner.
Look at you, hippies.
Yeah.
You and I would have been whipped.
I got spanked.
I did too. I remember that. We used to get whacked in school.
I did not. There's the generational gap there. They definitely were not allowing kids getting hit in school when I was in school, but definitely got spanked at home.
Can you imagine a teacher spanking your kid in school today?
Dude.
These days? Can you imagine
a teacher pulling down your kid's pants and spanking them?
Well, I didn't say pulling down. I mean,
but that's what a spanking is.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I guess so. It's a little red butt. Comes home and you're just like, what has happened to you?
There was a time that my brother got in trouble. We were on like a family road trip. And my dad decided a spanking was in order, but we were on a road trip. So we like, we're like pulled over in a parking lot in front of like a Radio Shack.
Nice.
So telling my brother, get out of the car. And like my brother has to, but then my brother doesn't want the spanking. So he's jumping around the parking lot in circles, like thrusting forward to like try to absorb the blow of the spanking. And my dad's like chasing him around. And it's just this scene. And my mom's like, you guys have to get back in the car.
Oh, my God. Dr. Buckley lost it.
He wasn't happy.
He was not.
Well, my brother got, I remember specifically what it was over. It was over back talking. Not allowed to back talk our parents.
You can't be doing that. Especially with it, you know, you're stressed out, travel, and you're in
the car. My brother was upset that like some piece of technology wasn't working or something. And he was just losing it over that fact. And my dad told him to grow up. And he told my dad that he needed to grow up. My dad's like, no, that's not how it works.
That's not how this works.
So we pulled over that
right
Mazda minivan.
Right here at this Radio Shack, you're going to learn a lesson.
Yeah. Pulled that Mazda minivan right over and tried to get to business, but, well, Scotty wouldn't let him.
I love that you and Mom are just so embarrassing.
We're like laughing.
Well, that's the best story we'll hear all week. God. Where do we go from there? The Hot 5 at 5.
Oh. Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 with Isaac and Sue. Brought to you on The Fan by Victorico's Mexican Food. Discover Victorico's new savory menu items. Order in-store, online, or get it delivered straight to your door at victorico's.com.
Hey, the text line figured it out for me. My wife's cousin, the bull rider, Stetson Lawrence is his name.
Where's he live?
He's from South Dakota. I don't know where he lives now, though.
Kick ass. Ducks men's basketball, now 10th in the nation. That makes him one of just two schools who are top 10 in hoops and football. The other could be their opponent in the Rose Bowl, Tennessee. Dana Altman's club now takes on Stanford and Weber State before they head into Big Ten play. We do have a bowl tonight. As Buck has been telling you, it's the Scooter's Coffee Frisco Bowl.
Get excited.
Just north of Dallas, you will have 10-2 Memphis versus 6-6 West Virginia, who doesn't even have a coach, do they? I don't think they have a coach. Well, they have Rich Rod, but he's not coaching.
Right. I don't know who the interim is.
Some interim guy.
But they were originally like a 3-point favorite. Now they're a 6-point dog, West Virginia.
Oh, damn. Memphis, that's a team that beat Tulane.
That's right.
Good little club.
Number four.
Good little club.
Lincoln Riley had 3 5-stars in his first full recruiting class. They have now all transferred because star wide receiver Zachariah Branch has hit the portal. In other portal news, former Maryland quarterback Billy Edwards has transferred to Wisconsin. Colorado lands the top defensive lineman in the portal, Jaheim Otis. He is from Alabama. And a big get for Auburn, they land former USC offensive lineman Mason Murphy. Also, many call this guy the number one quarterback in the portal. He was the backup at Florida State. His name is Luke Kromenhoek, and he has decided to transfer to Mississippi State. All this while DJ Uiagalelei is headed to the NFL.
You nailed that one.
Thank you.
Better than Jonathan Smith. Is it funny? Or, I mean, maybe not funny. Do we think that DJ Uiagalelei is making a roster? I mean, I guess he's got the, like, physical tools maybe, but... Boy, he's bad at playing quarterback.
Yeah, he really was bad in college, wasn't he?
Like he wasn't good anywhere he went, and he tried 3 different places.
Yeah, I know.
Kind of, he's like big guy, strong arm, but like, what are you gonna go do in the league?
Clear the deck for the NBA Cup Championship tonight. We've got the Bucks and Thunder in Las Vegas. Your Bucks started 4-9. They have now won 10 of 12. We also have a new All-Star Game format in the NBA. 4 teams. It's a knockout tournament featuring games with the first to 40 points winning. 3 of the teams will have 8 players from the 24-player All-Star pool. The last team will have 8 rising stars. As for who goes to what team, they will be split up by Chuck, Kenny, and Shaq from TNT. They'll draft February 6th. They'll hopefully balance out the teams, and then the game is February 16th for you not to watch.
Number two.
Baseball trade. Yankees get outfielder Cody Bellinger from the Cubs for pitcher Cody Poteet. I've never heard of this guy. That's all they got for Cody Bellinger? What's that about? Explain that to me.
I don't know. Well, I mean, basically, you're only guaranteed 1 year of Bellinger. It's a player opt-out after that, so no guarantee you sign him.
Yeah, New York's also eating all but $5 million of his remaining $52 million on his contract. So they really wanted Cody Bellinger. Helps their defense, which is nice because their defense was atrocious in the playoffs. LIV Golf is in talks with Fox for a television broadcast deal in 2025. They have up until now been on the CW with very low ratings. There is a golf event tonight. It's on TNT. I couldn't care any less about it, but it's at Shadow Creek in Vegas. Roy McIlroy is teaming with Scottie Scheffler to take on Team Douche, Brooks Koepka, Bryson DeChambeau, who are now partners after what appeared to be a long-running feud. The winner gets paid in crypto.
Nice. So
if you want that, that's on TNT, TBS tonight.
Well, what kind of crypto? Is it Bitcoin or any of the other crypto?
Maybe Fartcoin. Those guys don't.
Did you see the little viral moment that came out of that? Their like range sesh yesterday.
I did. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Where Rory's saying
that was great.
I'd love to get back at Bryson for what he did to me at the U.S. Open, and Bryson goes, "Well, you kind of did it to yourself."
Oh my
everyone's
God.
Like, "Ooh,
sick burn, yeah. Bryce." And it was pretty funny.
Yeah.
And he's not wrong.
Nope.
Rory missed two little short putts, if you remember that. And number one, Patrick Mahomes says his high ankle sprain this time is not as bad as the one he had in the playoffs in 2022. And he is planning to play on Saturday against your Texans. And then we have two QB1s benched. Jameis Winston, the man of increase, is now a man of decrease as he has been put on the bench. The era has become for Dorian Thompson-Robinson in Cleveland. And then Tennessee has benched Will Levis for Mason Rudolph. One other NFL note. We have a flexed Sunday night football game for week 17.
Oh. What
so,
do we got?
Well, we will not get Dolphins Browns. That moves out to the 1 p.m. window on CBS.
Good.
They have replaced that with Falcons Commanders.
Playoff spot. I mean, there's a chance that game is for a team that gets a wild card.
Okay.
Because I think the Falcons winning last night puts them at 7-7. They are right on the bubble for a wild card spot, and I would have to check the NFC East, but obviously the Eagles are running away with it, but the Commanders also looking for a playoff spot. So that could be a win and you're in type situation.
Well,
even though on paper, not a great matchup.
No, but I saw today that who's the coach of the Falcons? Raheem Morris.
Uh huh.
He said that he would not commit to Kirk Cousins.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, he sucks. So
what if Penix comes in and they win the Super Bowl?
It's
how about that?
I don't understand if you were going to give that a try, why you wouldn't have done that a month ago. Because you want to hand over the reins now in like the last 3 weeks of the season and then the playoffs. But, I mean,
well,
if Kirk doesn't
awful.
Do it. So why? He's been awful. Why didn't you already do it? I feel like the reason you stayed with him is because he's the vet. And if you've stayed with him this long, maybe stay with him now. But,
well, it's also one of those things where you're probably seeing some stuff in practice from Penix that doesn't give you a lot of confidence.
Sure.
You know?
And that's... Suk says this all the time, but if the backup was really lighting it up in practice, if Arch Manning was all world, he would be starting over Quinn Ewers.
Right. Victory Goes Mexican Food brings you the Hot 5 at 5, a hit with the whole family. Order in-store, online, or delivered to your door at victorricos.com. When you think of flavor, think of Victorico's. We will crystallize why Bill Belichick is now a college coach, talk a little bit more about these benchings in the NFL, and why Adam Schefter and that goober Doug Gottlieb are fighting. All coming up this hour on The Fan. Well, John Mellencamp. Remember when they called him Cougar Mellencamp?
Did they call him just Cougar Mellencamp, or was it...
It was John Cougar Mellencamp.
Well, no, I remember that. I feel like they still call him John Cougar Mellencamp.
Well, some people do. I think he wants to just be John Mellencamp.
Well, then you shouldn't have introduced the cougar part, because that's the catchy part.
Hallelujah. You know, he's an underrated musician.
He's pretty good.
He's really good. And boy, has he partied in his life. Smoked some ciggies. Probably done some other things.
Say, that's your definition of partying, huh?
He once had a pack of cigarettes.
Oh, boy.
It's crazy. We'll get into some Bill Belichick talk coming up, but we had two quarterbacks benched in the NFL. This begins our NFL F around. And I was looking at, I was thinking in my head, I'm like, because Winston is no more. He threw 18 more picks the other day. And
being a man of increase?
I mean, literally cannot stop throwing interceptions. Which,
it's a beautiful day.
It's just, it's fascinating to me that he can't.
It's almost like impulse control. It's like somebody who can't stop themselves even though they know it's wrong. Some of the picks are so bad.
They are, but then others aren't. Others are just I saw a couple of them. I didn't watch the whole Chiefs game on Sunday, but I saw two of his picks, and they were like, you know, I mean, I get it. He's trying to push the ball down the field, but I don't know. He's so weird because he knows he needs to clean it up. He's talked about wanting God to save him from pick sixes.
Yeah.
And he cannot stop turning it over.
Bang, bang.
That fascinates me. Like, you do not have the ability
to be more conservative.
To try to prevent those. That's, well.
And the thing is, you do have the ability to be more conservative, but you can't get there somehow. It's remarkable.
Which is it? Like, surely he's a smart enough guy that he knows he needs to change it up, but he doesn't. It's really, he's fascinating. And he's
and the
always
fact that he knows it, and then he thinks he is changing it, but it still looks the same.
And then for a while he was.
Yeah.
But this is him. He's always been this way. He's turned it over.
He's getting into that, like, Fitzmagic, Minshew area where, like, he's going to be one of the best backup. Like, you're never going to trust him as the start of your team. But if he's your backup and you need him a couple weeks, he might give you some magic. But if you have to rely on him for more than a month, Cinderella turns back into a pumpkin.
I think he's been that since he's been in New Orleans. Don't you?
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
That's what he is.
This time around with the Browns, at least at first, felt like a little more of a resurgence.
Well, yeah, because Watson was so bad that when Winston got in, they were like, oh.
He's actually better?
Yeah, for a while. So which would you rather have, Winston or Watson?
Oh, I'd still
It's two different archetypes of suck.
Oh, I'd have to say Winston because he cares. Deshaun looks like he does not care.
Yeah, that's true. And
he's coming off an Achilles injury now.
Yeah, Winston you can get behind. Like, the team, you know? Whereas Watson, you can't. But if he keeps turning it over, they're not going to stay behind him.
Well, yeah, that's true. That's why he doesn't have his job anymore.
Yeah, so now it's Dorian Thompson.
They're like, hey, this much younger, inexperienced guy is going to be way more protective of the football.
To me, the Browns are getting a pass because the Jets and Giants are so bad.
Oh, and it's not just the Jets and Giants. I mean, there are six or seven teams that are terrible.
No, there are. But you have the franchises that just kind of always suck and get ridiculed. I don't know why we're still not doing this with the Browns, but for some reason we aren't.
Well,
they're terrible.
So I think every time we see them, they're competitive. So it's like, even though they're 3-11 or whatever it is,
they're terrible.
But they feel, when you watch them, they feel more like a 6-8 team. The Giants feel as bad as their record. The Raiders feel as bad as their record.
Jets?
The Jets feel as bad as their record. The Browns at least are like frisky. They could upset anybody at any time. At least it seems.
Yeah. See, I don't.
And
get
maybe
that.
That's not true.
I don't get that at all.
But when I watch them play, it's not as bad as watching those other teams play.
Boy, I totally disagree. They're all so bad. I just think what it is maybe we think because Stefanski had some success there that he's still pretty good.
Well, they still have some really good players there.
It's just kind of
you have Miles Garrett. You have Nick Chubb.
The Jets have some good players.
Yeah.
Raiders don't really. And Crosby shut it down.
Mm-hmm.
And the
Brock Bowers is great, but they don't have anyone to throw to him.
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird. The Browns are a joke. Anyway, what I was thinking about was, so Winston got benched, and then Will Levis got benched in Tennessee, and he's awful as well. But I was thinking about, what are their comps? What are those two guys' comps? Like, when you think of Jameis Winston, who most resembles him and who most resembles Will Levis? And I actually found them.
Okay.
One of them was on Football Reference, and it's great. I had no idea he was this close statistically to this player, Winston. And then with Levis, it's fewer starts. Obviously, he hasn't started them. He's only started 20 games. There is a comp that is shockingly bad for him. Because I don't see what anyone sees in Will Levis.
I don't know
Besides,
that anyone does.
He's just jacked and has a big arm.
Yeah.
He sucks.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, I mean, he was becoming a meme halfway through the season because every week he did one of the most outrageous turnovers you've ever seen.
Exactly. Worse than Winston.
Yeah.
So do you have any guesses on this?
Boy, that's really tough.
Who is the NFL career Jameis Winston comp? It's a fascinating name.
It's somebody who's thrown a ton of picks.
Well, can I give you the stats?
Yeah.
Maybe this will help you.
Maybe it will.
Winston, 87 starts. This guy, 93.
Okay.
Winston, 36 and 51. This guy. Damn it. 47, 45 and 1.
You know what's funny? I was actually going to guess Carson Wentz for Levis. But.
This is more like number of starts is similar.
Okay.
You know, so.
Cumulative stats are similar. Yeah, okay.
So what Football Reference does, which is really cool, is they not only compare stats and they give you comps based on stats, but they do it based on how the career has flowed. Starter, benched, you know, new team, you know, and so on and so forth. There's a lot of different factors. But yes, it's Carson Wentz. So Winston, 154 tutties. Wentz, 153.
I'm kind of surprised Wentz actually had that many. I mean...
Yeah. Now, listen to this. Wentz, 67 interceptions. Winston, 111.
See, that's where I feel like the comp isn't fair to Wentz. He has 40 fewer picks.
Yeah. Wentz's numbers look pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, comparatively. 89... quarterback rating for Wentz. Winston is at 86. Okay, Will Levis, 20 starts. This guy has 18 starts, and I will give you a hint. We saw him. He's playing. He shouldn't be, but he is. There's the hint. Levis, 20 starts, 5 and 15. He has 20 tutties and 16 picks. His quarterback rating is 82. This guy has 18 starts. He is 8 and 10, 16 tutties, 14 picks, and his quarterback rating is 82. He's the same player.
I'm going to say like Cooper Rush.
Good guess. It's Desmond Ridder.
Oh, okay. I guess I didn't realize Desmond Ridder even had that much under his belt.
Well, he played in Atlanta. They tried to hitch their wagon to him for a bit. And he's terrible.
Yeah, he played last night. I watched some of it.
Terrible.
It was really bad.
How does one watch the Raiders play football? Seriously.
The quarterbacking in that game was terrible. Cousins was horrible, and Ridder was horrible. That game was horrible.
Did you think that the Raiders were going to win when they scored that last touchdown with a couple minutes left?
I'm not sure. I didn't ever think they were going to win. But they had a chance at the end.
Do you have my Dan Campbell audio?
I do. Let me find it.
I'm going to play that for the people here in the NFL F around. Dan Campbell was on a radio show in Detroit today. And this is why Dan Campbell is a leader of men right here. We're going to play it for you. But don't look now. With the Vikings winning last night, they have tied the Lions and Eagles in the top of the NFC. Did you know that?
I did know that.
The Vikings only have two losses. Sam Darnold!
Mm-hmm. And they get Seattle next.
Sam Darnold.
I do knew that.
Going to get the bye. So here's what Campbell had to say. Remember, the Lions, they lost three more players, including running back David Montgomery, the other night against the Bills.
And I had one thought after hearing this. I bet you had the exact same thought. I'll be interested to see.
Okay. There are 16 defensive players that are down for the Lions. And here was Dan Campbell talking about that.
Look, I don't. You know what happens is, you know, you win 11 in a row, you know, and you lose, and then the sky falls. And I hate to say it, but we're not going to be able to win 11 in a row again for the rest of this season. We're just not going to be able to do it. And, you know, what happens is you get used to eating filet, and I'm talking to all of us, and well, everything's good. Life's good, you know, but you forgot what it was like when you had nothing and you ate your f-ing molded bread, you know, and it was just fine, and it gave you everything you needed. And sometimes you got to get punched in the mouth and remember what it used to be like to really appreciate where you are. And we'll do that. And so we got a bad taste in our mouth. We got kicked around the other day. We lost a few guys. And you know what? It's exactly what we needed. This is exactly what we needed. So we're going to bounce back. We're going to respond. We got guys that are about to have an unbelievable opportunity here. And we will play the game any way needed to win. We still got a good offense. We got plenty of defensive players. I can go rattle them off right now. We're going to put the best 11 on the field. We're going to freaking cut it loose. We're going to play with our special teams. And I don't give a crap if we got to win by 1 point for the rest of the year. That's what we're going to do. And I'm going to be happy about it. We come out of the game with 50 yards of total offense and we win by one. You're going to see smiles on my face. I promise you. All right. If it's the other way defensively, we give up 700 yards and we win by 1 point, you're going to see a f-ing smile from my ear to ear. All right. I can promise you. So we're going to find a way and we're going to get it done.
You've seen his chaw smile that he has, where his lips have got tobacco all over him, like, and he's juice like, dude, when you look up football coach in the dictionary, that guy's picture is there.
Yeah.
But great leader. You know, that I like what he, you know, he's trying to keep his guys together. The sky is falling there, by the way, in Detroit. And
it
I
is.
Have no faith in
but,
them.
But the way that he chose to react to that, as soon as I heard that, I said, that's exactly what Dan Lanning was saying.
Yeah, that's right. Well, it's all you can say.
Right, but there are people and there are coaches, peers in his league that would go out and say, yeah, like we're in it right now. We're trying to figure things out. He finds a way to put a positive spin. Oh, we will embrace this. We don't care. It'll make us better. We'll be more proud of ourselves after we get it done. Like, he just puts the, we're going to get through it. We're going to get past it. We're going to conquer it out there in the universe. And I love that.
Yeah, I do too. And I think that helps his team for sure. If, look, they're not going to get through this, I don't think. But if they do, that's a hell of a start. That's what you have to, that's what you need out of your leader in order to do that. I just think they're in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
They're in trouble.
It reaches a point. It has nothing to do with what you showed up at the dance with. It's like what you're left with. And he, yeah, like, they probably brought a Super Bowl. I mean, at one point in time, for the first time in their franchise history, they were Super Bowl favorites this year. And they should have been because of the personnel and the way they're playing. But you get to a point, you lose too many guys. It just isn't realistic anymore. And they're teetering on that edge right now.
If I'm a team in the NFC, I would have been terrified of the Lions 6 weeks ago.
Yep.
I am not now. Even though I get it, he's, you know, they're going to bite kneecaps and they're going to fight.
Well,
and
I still
have a great offense. I just would not. I would want to play them.
You'd still be worried about containing their offense, but you think, you see them on your schedule and think, we can beat this team.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
And was molded bread just fine?
No.
Did it give you everything you needed? That was weird.
Proper sustenance.
Well, he is very Dan Lanning, or I guess I should say Dan Lanning is very Dan Campbell-esque.
I mean, I thought he was going to go from filet to like a ground chuck or something like
no,
that.
No, molded bread.
Molded bread. Not even stale bread. Molded.
Well, they're not exactly molded bread, Dan. Call your players molded bread, but I get his overriding point there. Why Bill Belichick is now a college coach, next on The Fan.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So it's becoming clear why Bill Belichick is now a college coach, and I, for one, am here for it. You know, at first, and we talked about it, of course, on the show last week, it just kind of seemed like, well, Bill's locked out of the NFL. No one really wants him anymore, at least to be a head coach, and so he's butthurt, and his only real opportunity is in college, and this is a disaster, and he's old, and he's just doing it so his son can be a head coach after him, and, you know, you got to think he'll jump to the NFL if he ever gets the opportunity, the all-time wins, and I don't know, just sort of college got to be second fiddle to Bill, right? Well, it's really starting to show that it wasn't. And what ended up happening was, and of course we never, none of us ever would have thought Bill Belichick would be in college, even 3 years ago, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, but here he is. And when you start to lay it out, it actually makes some sense. Obviously, college is more like the NFL than ever before because you have NIL budgets now. And so it's basically your own salary cap. You have to manage that as best you can and sprinkle it around your roster. And Oregon's done a great job of that. And now Bill Belichick kind of brings that salary cap sort of, management style to college. That wasn't a thing before, but now it is. And the word is that when many of his assistants ended up in college, including his son at UW, that's when he began studying the college game. You know, these football guys, What do you think they can do? Spend time with their families, their girlfriends? No.
No, I was hearing stories that, like, when John Gruden was first out of a head coaching job, he was still waking up at 3:15 every morning and going to an office in a strip ball to watch film.
Yep.
Like, these guys are nuts.
Yep, they are nuts. And Bill is one of these, and apparently he began diving into the college game, and I can't even imagine what it's like when you're Bill Belichick and you're diving into a whole new game of football.
It's got to be like going into a restaurant and seeing a whole new menu and just licking your chops at all the different ingredients you could possibly put together to make a tasty
dish.
Well,
and how deep he must go with it. You know, like, that guy doesn't just skim the surface of the college game. I'm guessing when Bill starts studying the college game, he studies the S out of the college game. And so he started consulting coaches, and of course, when Bill calls, people pick up the phone. He befriended some school administrators and even some search firms who could help him get placed in college, and he basically angled his way into college. He wanted a college job, and according to the Wall Street Journal, they said he wasn't just going to go anywhere. He knew that he had to go to a place that was going to give him everything he needed, but the two jobs that he was eyeing, one was North Carolina, and the other was Florida. But when Billy Napier was kept at Florida, the North Carolina job kind of became, you know, the bell of the ball for him. And once Mack Brown got turfed, do you know the guy who he had call North Carolina on his behalf? The guy who ended up calling North Carolina on his behalf?
Bill?
Yes, it's the same guy who they say he wants to bring in as his GM. Suk alluded to this last week, that there's some mystery guy out there that Bill had in mind to be the college program's GM. It's that guy.
Mm.
He is on The Fan. It's not me.
Oh, he's a radio person.
He has a spot on The Fan, on Colin's show. Michael Lombardi.
Oh, okay. He's a pretty sharp dude.
Very sharp. Football guy. And apparently, Michael Lombardi was on Bill's old staffs with, like, the Browns. And so they know each other really well. And apparently they're saying that Bill's going to hire Michael Lombardi as his GM at North Carolina. And why it became a match. So it's one thing to have Bill Belichick call you and say, well, you know, I want to work there. And I've been studying the college game and I want to do this. It's another to have a program that says, oh, yeah, no problem. Because a lot of people would be like, well, he's 74 years old. Is he really been studying? What is he? You know, there's a lot of things you got to iron out, right? Well, it was a match. Apparently, Bill convinced them that they were slow to the new college football model, as we were talking about earlier, with, like, USC has been slow to this. Other schools, I mean, you can tell the schools that are and the schools that aren't. And he said, I will bring you up to speed, but you have to commit to paying me. You have to commit to paying my assistants. And you have to commit to paying the players. So how bad do you want it? And apparently UNC was so tired of losing. And again, they're not the worst program, but they just have not gotten over the hump since bringing Mack Brown back. They really haven't gotten over the hump since...
They really haven't gotten over the hump ever.
Since his first tenure. But yeah, right. Like, they think of themselves as maybe should be better than they are. So they're like, what is it going to take? Well, Bill Belichick waltzes in and pitches you on it. And you're like, well, maybe he's right. He's been studying it. Oh, he's one of the best defensive minds in he's the best defensive mind in football. And the greatest NFL coach of all time. Why would we not do this? So they saw it as, hey, we just gave one of the smartest minds in football history. If we give him enough resources, we're going to be as competitive as anyone, and that's what we want. And so it's definitely an experiment. There's no question. They said that his buyout goes from $10 million to $1 million just next season. So I got to imagine that if the NFL came calling, and it might if he has some success at North Carolina or he does something interesting there, then he might be gone. I don't know. But if he, you know, that's the other thing too, is if he does have success, I wonder if the NFL will want him back, even at the age of 74. I mean, there's a lot of good coaches in the NFL right now, but there's also some glaring weak spots at some bad teams, bad franchises that he could really help. You know, I'm thinking of I don't know if he would go to the Raiders. He certainly wouldn't go to the Jets. Doesn't he hate Woody Johnson or something?
Is that what everybody says?
I mean, the Giants.
Well, he, yeah. I mean, he helped get Brian Daboll that job. So is he going to follow that? I guess he could.
I'd hire him if I'm the Giants. You need something.
Are they getting rid of Daboll?
Well, I don't know. I'm just saying they need something. I would. I mean, there's you need something stable there. But that is why Bill Belichick is now a college coach, and it's not the path that we thought. And it could work.
Definitely not.
I'm interested. I got to tell you, I think that this is a really smart move by North Carolina.
I saw a little post yesterday of North Carolina got their first transfer from the portal. They got the Holy Cross kid. And did you see the photo of Belichick watching him sign his letter of intent?
No.
There's like a little, and Belichick's just wearing like jeans and a North Carolina t-shirt. He's got his hands in his pockets and everyone's captioning it. They're like, just sign the damn paper. you know, he's like, I got to do pomp and circumstance for like IG posts and like graphics and stuff for all this. But, you know, here we are.
Well, I also think when you're a fan and you see your team gets a transfer from Holy Cross, he's an offensive lineman, third team All Patriot League. Like, does that get your sports pants tight?
Yeah, start somewhere.
But somehow they're making it sound like, oh, Belichick's.
Well, maybe Bill saw something, you know?
Yeah. Bill knows something that nobody else does about this kid.
Greatest evaluator of talent.
Well, if I'm a North Carolina fan, I'm excited.
You have to be.
It's more exciting
than Mack Brown.
Well, yeah. I don't know how it's going to go, but let me ask you this. Who would you have hired? If you're North Carolina.
And if this fails spectacularly, it's not going longer than 3 years. You'll find that you'll get over the next thing. Like, well, this is worth the shot.
Then don't they have to hire his kid?
Oh, are they contractually obligated to? I know that that's like the plan, but do they have to?
I don't know.
And also, if the school cans your dad, do you want to be their head coach?
Yeah. Well, maybe they just mutually part ways.
Right.
Bill rides off into the sunset or something.
But my point is, if this doesn't work, you can be out of this thing in 3 years.
But who would you have hired? Seriously.
And that's what I'm saying. I don't know for a school like Carolina. We talked about them being one of those perfect kind of like retread second time through schools for coaches who have proven they can do something, but they're not cutting edge enough to get one of the top jobs. Like, they were going to stay in that crappy cycle, and this is a chance to break out of that. It might not work, but it's a different life raft than the one you've been offered before.
Yep. I'm here for it. I want to see Bill in the playoffs. I want to see Dan Lanning coaching against Bill Belichick. Can you imagine that? You see Dan Lanning cooking on Bill's grill?
I mean, how many ACC coaches next year are just going to, like, be starstruck being across the sideline from him?
No kidding.
I'm cooking on your grill.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah. It'll be weird.
Justin Wilcox v. Bill Belichick.
One of the battles we're going to get.
All right, why Adam Schefter and Doug Gottlieb are fighting next on The Fan. A little breaking news out of the NFL. Michael Penix will be the new starter in Atlanta.
You like that? You like that?
I don't think he likes that. So the man of increase, now the man of decrease. And Kirk Cousins goes to the bench. That's wild. 7-7, you said? Is that a record?
Yeah, they improved to 7-7 last night.
And still a shot at the playoffs, and they're putting a rookie in there. That makes them infinitely more interesting.
Definitely.
Now I want to watch
them more
that,
watchable.
Yeah. That flexed game, that Sunday night game. Adam Schefter and Doug Gottlieb are fighting.
Yeah, a good old internet fight.
Boy, who do you side with there? Probably you got to go with Schefter, don't you?
It's like that South Park episode when they have to decide between a giant douche and a turd sandwich.
Well, here's what happened on social media. Adam Schefter tweeted, Sacramento State is in discussions to hire former Pro Bowl quarterback Mike Vick as its new head coach. Sacramento State plans to move up to FBS, is building a new stadium, and has over $50 million in NIL. Sac State would build an experienced coaching staff around Vick. Sac State would build an experienced coaching staff around Vick that is in line with the new frontier of college football. To which your man, Doug Gottlieb, replied, Jesus, Shefty, edit what agents tell you, 0.0% chance Sac State has $50 million in NIL.
And that, to be fair, is probably true. No one's operating with $50 million in NIL. Everyone believes that, like, the Oregons and the Ohio States are at the top of the game with, like, 20. So this would be two and a half times more than that at Sacramento State.
Listen,
probably not true.
I don't want to agree with Doug Gottlieb.
But he's got a point.
Well, yeah, isn't that everyone's first reaction to that? It's $50 million.
People are thinking that then Schefter got a decimal wrong, and then it was like 5 million or something.
Well, then Schefter fired back, and he said, the Sac-12, leading the school's NIL efforts, already announced it has reached its initial goal of raising $50 million in NIL funds to strengthen the school's case for an invitation to the Pac-12 or Mountain West Conference. And he said, that comes straight from the school, 50 mil. And then Schefter writes, and Jesus, Doug, spelled J-E-E-Z-U-S.
Which, of course, was the way that Doug spelled it towards him, correct?
Oh.
I think he was doing it as a mock.
Because he said, Jesus, Schefty.
Yep.
Jesus, Doug, a 7-game losing streak and last place in the Horizon League? Less time on social media and more time in the gym. And then he posted the Horizon League stats, or standings. Green Bay, Wisconsin Green Bay, where Gottlieb somehow is the coach, they are 2-10 and 0-3 in league and at the bottom.
And I think they have like the best scorer in the league too.
Yeah, but he benched him, right? Apparently.
Yeah, well.
But that's a hell of a point. Like, stay off social media. What are you doing on social media? You're supposed to be coaching a basketball
team. His point about the 50 million thing probably wasn't wrong, but like, what are you doing out here?
God.
Schefter's like, Twitter's my domain. You stay away.
Well, Schefter did put him in his place.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Well, and also, did you see what happened today?
No. Between the two of them?
No, Michael Vick agreed to be the head coach at Norfolk State.
Yeah, I saw that. Well, I mean, I think more NFL guys, we were just talking about Belichick, more NFL guys with less coaching experience are going to get college jobs.
Yeah.
Because it will attract players with pro potential.
Well, and the way that the shift with money and recruiting and, I mean, we've all kind of identified it's become more of a young man's game as far as the energy required to, like, build a roster. And I think that's a lot easier to do when you have some of the cachet and name recognition of some of these people who've been in the league.
Yeah, and schools like that have to think differently.
Yes.
I mean, Coach Prime blew the lid off of this.
Yep.
And then they had Ed Reed at a small college. He ended up quitting, but they tried it there. And
yeah, Bethune-Cookman, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Also, can I just say this about, and somebody texted in, they said $50 million is in the coffers, not the single-year budget. Sort of makes sense, right? Yeah, maybe you put it that way. I don't know. I just...
Yeah, they might have commitments of $50 million bucks, but like no but one's still operating with a $50 million NIL. And Schefter, being the ace reporter that he is, should get that part of it right.
But it's Sac State.
I know.
And that's what's crazy about it. And so, I mean, isn't it funny how all of a sudden, even afterthought schools like Sacramento State are finding all this money? I mean, it's for so long we're like, oh, we're so poor. Ooh. You know, it's a higher education model. It's not a business model. Oh, shut up. If you have to go find money, you can and you will. This is why, right here, is why I don't think Oregon State or Washington State, and I get it, Oregon State and Washington State got screwed, but you can't really bitch. Put in the hustle. Sacramento State did. 50 mil. Is that more than Oregon State and Washington State?
Again, we need to know what this $50 million covers. If it's all athletic department operating expenses, or all football department, like what? It's hard to compare until we actually know. It might be more. Certainly could be.
It goes back to the Dan. We played that Dan Campbell clip, and it's that. It's you don't bitch about the situation in front of you.
Just go try to do something about it.
We got to do something about it, and the only way to get there is
just fight. Just go fight through
it. That's right. And here's what we're going to do it. And Sacramento State did that. They're like, hey, we're Sacramento State, but well, why can't we join the Pac-12? What are we going to do? What do we have to do to do that? Well, we have to go raise $50 million. Well, they did it. So it's just disingenuous to sit there and listen to Oregon State and Washington State gripe. Go figure it out. You got dealt a bad hand, but it does happen. You can overcome it. College programs have been crying poor for so long, and now all of a sudden they're piling up.
Oh, look,
cash.
There's tons of cash everywhere.
Right. And by the way, their revenues are about to skyrocket. I know everybody's saying, oh, you got to pay all this money to these kids. How are they going to afford it? Oh, dude, once they get this next TV deal for the playoff and they actually get their crap together.
Affording the kids is not going to be the big thing.
No, they're going to start making so much freaking money.
We still haven't seen them start slapping the logos on the fields and things like that. I mean, this is all coming down the pike.
Exactly. So there. What do you think about? Oh, yeah. Eddie George is at Tennessee State, I think.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I think they hired my guy, Eddie George.
Your guy?
My friend, yeah. I once watched the, he was at the hotel. Which game was that? That was in, We were in Dallas. Yeah, we were in Dallas for the Oregon
Ohio State championship. Ohio State championship.
Yep, and he was there for that.
Because he's a Buckeye.
But then in the hotel bar was the Ravens Titans playoff game, and of course he played for the Titans, and he was in there. And I thought that was pretty cool because he's watching his Titans, like right. his team. So he was
there for his Buckeyes, watching his Titans.
And he was by himself. He was super cool too. I watched. So we're now buddies.
Nice.
We drank together.
You and
I had money on the Ravens
and Ricky Fowler's wife and Eddie George.
I didn't tell him that.
Mm.
And Ben Crenshaw. Don't forget, I bummed a smoke from Ben Crenshaw once.
I don't think I knew that.
Yeah, well, outside of El Gaucho.
Nice.
And boy, you want to talk about a nice man?
What was he doing out here?
He was out here for the when Arnie came out. Remember when the Peter Jacobson tournament?
I don't remember that.
Peter Jacobson tried to bring back the Umpqua Bank Challenge or the old Fred Meyer Challenge, and we had Arnold Palmer on the show and a bunch of old, you know, Lee Trevino and some of these guys, and they were all in what's the steakhouse? I just said it. El Gaucho. They were all down there, and we were in the bar, and I wanted a smoke. Ben Crenshaw was out front, handed me a smoke with his mangled putt fingers. It was great.
How does that happen?
Nice dude. What?
Why do golfers?
Oh, dude, you're.
I seen them like
their hands. You ever
Jordan Spieth looks like a hobbit.
I know.
It's like,
well, their hands are their tools, man. Dude, those guys hit so many balls a day, thousands.
So you just
over time,
but to the point that you're just misshaping your body. Like,
well, yeah.
So, but you call him his putt hands. Those are
he was known as a great putter.
Oh, okay. Well,
Ben Crenshaw's one of the best putters.
I thought you were saying that the putting did that to his hands. I'm like, I wouldn't think so. Just it's gotta years be all of the
golf.
Other play.
Years of golf and, yeah. and holding a dart to your sure. To your lips.
I did know that he was a smoker, but did not know that you got to share
yeah.
one.
Yeah, and he's really nice. And Fuzzy Zeller was holding court at the bar. Of course, we weren't privy to those.
Careful,
jokes.
Fuzzy, you're in Portland.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. Little off color. All right.
Yeah, color was the issue.
We're going to play some music for you. See if you can guess the ad next on The Fan.